This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy. This is a special edition iFanboy podcast on DC's Legends of Tomorrow.
Can I fix it and still care? Can I run?
Hello, welcome to a special Chennai Fanboy podcast on DC's Legends of Tomorrow pilot, part one. My name is Connor Kilpatrick. I'm here with Ron Richards.
Hello.
We did a show on most of the major DC shows, which it seems like there's a new one every week. But we did one on Flash, we did one on Gotham, we did one on Constantine?
I didn't do it on Constantine. I didn't watch that show.
Whatever. We did it. We've done some shows. We figured, why not? Let's talk about DC's Legends of Tomorrow since Ron and I were excited for it. We're big fans of The Flash and Arrow. And also, this is sort of the first superhero group show.
Yeah, this is the first team show. Although
they're all teams.
Yeah, I was going to say, but the casts of Arrow and Flash have been inflating, but when they started, they weren't team shows.
Right. So we're going to talk about the pilot. If you haven't seen it, there'll be some spoilers, but not really. Nothing's really going to spoil you. So if you're worried about that, pause the show and come back. So this was part one. This is a two-part pilot. So the second part is the following week, just days after we released this show. This is from producer Greg Berlanti, who has about 15 TV shows on the air currently, but he's the one behind Flash, Arrow, Supergirl, and DC's Legends of Tomorrow, along with some other non-superhero TV shows. Let's just get right to it. So this spun out of the Arrow and the Flash crossover.
This spun out of both Arrow and the Flash, because it's taking from both sides of things, yeah.
So there was an Arrow and Flash crossover just recently in which they fought Vandal Savage, and they brought together all the heroes from both shows, including Firestorm and Hawkman and Hawkgirl, and they thought they had dispatched Vandal Savage, but in fact they had not. So in this pilot, it opens up in which Rip Hunter, the Time Master, brings together his team of heroes to chase Vandal Savage through time to try to defeat him. And that's sort of the general setup of the show. Ron, what were your general thoughts?
Well, it's funny because as we've talked about this in the past, and anybody who knows us or whatever knows, like we talked about it in our year end wrap up. Both you and I were big fans of Smallville back in the day, and I've been a big fan of Arrow, and then a bigger fan of The Flash.
Right.
So when they announced last May when they were doing pilot season, and they announced they were going to spin off this show with this cast of supporting characters at best, right? These other shows, I thought, I'm like, are they reaching a bit too high?
This is going to be the test.
Yeah, this is going to be the test. And now, I don't know if this is going to be a success. I don't know if this will go on. I don't know if anybody's going to watch it. I don't know if anybody cares. But for my hour of entertainment, I was thoroughly entertained, probably more so than I want to admit.
No, I watched it twice. Partially it was because we were going to do the show and I wanted to make sure that I had it down. But
sure.
Flash and Arrow have two different tones, even though they're clearly in the same world.
Yeah.
The Flash is a bit more fun. It's a bit more Silver Age-y.
Yep.
And I thought this was much more to that tone.
than Marrow's tone. I mean, there's the point when the Time Master reveals his giant ship, and they get in this fucking giant spaceship and go and, you know, fly off into the time sphere, and I was just like, all right, we're doing it. This is like, we're going cosmic level on these shows now. I just thought it was super fun. And the thing is, while the cast of the show was all supporting casts of the other shows, they're all fun actors.
Yeah.
You know, and I like them all together. Victor Garber is really great as Professor Stein. And we're going to get to Captain Cold and Heatwave in a second.
Oh, yeah.
They deserve their own segment. But Hawkgirl and Hawkman really have grown on me. I wasn't sure about, especially the actor playing Hawkman, he's German, his name is Falk Hinschel. I wasn't sure about him when he first appeared on Flash, but I actually kind of liked him by the end of the episode.
Yeah.
And I think Katie Lotz, who's playing White Canary, was a way better Black Canary than her sister is on Arrow.
Yep.
And Ray Palmer, Brandon Routh's Ray Palmer, they've got a great take in him in which he died, or he was thought to have died, and realized for all his money and his companies and his inventions, he's sort of the Steve Jobsian character of this world. His life didn't really mean anything because no one really cared that he died. So I like him sort of pursuing that angle.
Yeah, and that's a good angle. That's really the whole – I mean, like what I thought was interesting about this is that – yeah, you're right. I mean, like you summed up a lot of the characters there. I'm not quite sure what I think of Rip Hunter as of yet, but we can talk about that in a second. But what struck me about this is that – it's definitely on the lighter side. It aligns more with The Flash, which has a little more humor, a little more Silver Agey. But this is just wacky.
Yes, totally.
And the thing was is that like strange things happened to the point where I was like, really? They did this? Right? And so like running down the list, I agree that Katie Lotz is a better Black Canary. But now that she's been through the Lazarus Pit and whatever's wrong with her.
She's like weird now.
She's weird now. She's like freaky now.
Who wants to go to the 70s and get weird?
Yeah,
exactly. I do. I definitely do.
Exactly. So there was that. And then when they go back to the 70s, for whatever reason, only some of them can go do what they've got to do for the mission. And so they tell White Canary and Captain Cold and Heatwave and other Half of Firestorm to stay in the ship. Of course, they don't. So they go to a bar. And in like that whole bar scene was very Guardians of the Galaxy,
it
I thought.
It was totally weird.
Right? Wasn't it very – because basically what happens is that White Canary, Captain Cold, and Heatwave – Heatwave puts on Captain Antoniel, Love Will Keep Us Together, yeah. And they proceed to get into a bar fight while the song is playing. And right. I was like, this seems very Edgar Wright-y, you know? Like it was like – and you wouldn't see that in the other shows, I don't think.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and then also what I thought was wacky and just straight up weird was like – so the whole premise of the show, it starts off with Rip Hunter recruiting the team and tells everyone that Vandal Savage is going to take over the world in 2166, and they are – this team of people are legends in the future, and he, you know, they're heroes, and they need to come together and help him now, and turns out that's a complete lie.
Right.
And I get it, you got to, you know, motivate him or whatever, but playing off of the Brandon Routh that his life is inconsequential, all these people don't matter – and have no impact on the future. That's why they can come together. So there's that. And then he basically lets everyone, gives them 36 hours to decide if they want to come with. And we see each kind of person going and having their little conversations. And it was all kind of by the book, except for the fact that Victor Garber then roofies the other half of Firestorm.
I don't want to do it. Okay, just drink this for a second, and then we'll discuss. Finish this discussion.
And it was just like, I was like, really? Did he just roofie him? I was like...
Heatwave is into it.
Yeah, exactly.
I won't judge you, man.
I mean, it's just – so there were just weird decisions like that that I thought were just odd. But like that said, I liked it because that's not like anything else that you're watching on TV. So that's good.
Yeah, I thought there was a nice balance. I mean, because there was some serious bits in it. So when they go back to the 70s to find this expert in Vandal Savage, and they want to talk to him right before he dies so they don't disrupt the timeline, which I thought was a neat little device. And turns out he's the son of Hawk Girl and Hawkman in one of their lives. I thought that was a nice little emotional beat, and when he realizes who they are, and when he's dying on the ship, and he gives her the necklace with the ring on it, I thought that was a really, really sort of sad, sweet moment. But it is mostly wacky and fun in the Flash vein, but every once in a while there's some nice stuff to punctuate it. I love the design of Time Lord, where he's sort of dressed like a sci-fi cowboy.
Yes, yeah.
Down to the six-shooter, the laser gun.
Yeah, exactly, which is kind of cool. So in the comics, Rip Hunter wasn't British, was he?
No.
Okay, so that's a deviation that they're making here in that, you know.
Which is good, 'cause it's kind of like it gives the whole team sort of a different
– right.
You know, they're all sort of different people.
And I noted that instead of the time sphere that he travels in, we get a fucking ship, which I'm cool with because how are you going to fit this whole team in, you know, like – and it's fine. I mean like that you know, that was amazing. Yeah, but
and if you follow the DC Instagram – they showed there's a lot of Easter eggs that are going to be shown in the ship, like a lot of artifacts from – you know, the history of DC Comics are going to be on display.
Well, yeah, and that's been the kind of thing with these Greg Berlanti shows with The Flash and Arrow. They haven't really shied away from Easter eggs and, I don't want to say fan service, but from things that get people like us excited, right, to the point where it's kind of like, all right, I get it. There's more than one channel than Channel 52. Like,
right,
all right.
Right.
You know, and so, like, this is a real opportunity to have fun with it. And plus, also, time travel. I love time travel.
Right.
And it just, you know, like, I you know, like, I think, you know, like, give each one of these characters their own show, like The Flash and the Arrow. I don't think it works.
No.
But together, absolutely, I see it working.
And the mix of personalities is so much that you can really play with the different eras.
Yeah.
You know, what happens when you go really far back and one of your heroes is black? You know, what's that going to be like? Or a woman, you know? And it's just going to be, you know, because we already know they're going back to the Old West for one of them.
Yeah.
They're going to meet Jonah Hex. It allows for a lot of different kind of stories that you just can't tell on a, you know, on a on just a linear TV show.
Yeah.
I love the mix. Let's talk about Captain Cold and Heatwave, who have showed up in Flash quite a bit, and they're played by Whitworth Miller and Dominic Purcell, who were together on Prison Break and will be together again on the revival of Prison Break because every show is coming back.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think what they're doing is terrible, but most of the time I think it's brilliant. And I know they're probably very polarizing because they play their characters way over the top, but I kind of love it.
Well, the thing is that like Heatwave, I can give or take. He's very primal. He's very savage. He's very, you know, like it's fine. You know, like whatever. But what I didn't watch Prison Break. I don't know much about Wentworth Miller.
Right.
But what he's doing at Captain Cold is possible. Like whenever he's on the Flash, I get excited. It's
you want to give him an Emmy right now.
It's the way it's the cadence and the what he's doing. Does he talk like that normally, or is
he
doing it?
No. He's doing this for the character.
Oh my God, it's great. It's so good. And like and the motivation and the idea that he's looking out for himself and he you know just is a thief and just wants to rob stuff but has a code.
Yeah.
And you know I feel like they've handled that really well in the Flash. Like he knows Barry's secret identity but isn't telling anybody. And but like even throughout all this, just like when you know that when Heatwave and White Canary and him are gonna go to the bar when they're stuck in the 70s and the half the Firestorm kid wants to go and he's like, nope, sorry kid, I said I'd look out for you, you're staying here, you know, like it's just like
that's what makes the Flash village so interesting, right? Because they have a code, they're not completely evil, they're,
you know,
there aren't jokers, they're a bunch of bank robbers mostly who
yep.
That's what makes them interesting as part of this group, because they're not purely good, for sure, and they're not purely bad, so you actually never know how they're going to react in a situation, which side of them is going to come out, and they're just fun. I was talking to our friend Mike, who's also an actor, about it, and he's like, it is really exhausting to keep that kind of acting up all the time. He's like, they must be, first of all, they're really committed, because they're, you know, they're always on this level, but also you can tell they're having the time of their lives doing it.
Right, yeah.
They're just super fun. Like, at first, when they first showed up on Flash, I thought, oh, I don't know about this, but then now I just kind of love it.
Oh, yeah, no, it's great. And then the thing is that and this is the only thing that makes me worry about it, is that on The Flash, they show up every now and then, and it's just a taste, and it's the way he talks, I just love it. But this is going to be week in and week out, and I'm hoping that the ensemble nature of the cast will give the tempering and the separating that I need to still make it not be super annoying.
Rip Hunter's clearly the main character, and the Hawks are clearly, you know, because of their connection to the Vandal Savage. So I feel like those three are going to have the majority of the screen time.
Yeah,
I think they must know they can't overdo it with these two guys.
They've got it. Yeah, they've got it. And I feel like you know, Brandon Routh and the Atom is a big, he's a big dominant personality on it. And then after that, you've got Victor Garber, who is all about the time travel and the exploration. And I love Victor Garber, and it's great to see him in this kind of thing. And he looks energized in this as well. Like, it's kind of, you got to imagine what these conversations are like when they're pitching it or when they're going through the first table read.
Right.
And it's got to seem ridiculous. And like, the thing is that like, that's the thing we see. I don't know if it's just because we read comics or we like it or whatever, but like going back to when we enjoyed Smallville, like we knew it wasn't good.
Right.
Like it's not
like watching Breaking Bad.
Yeah, it's not quality. I mean, like, but the thing is that it's bubblegum and
it's fun.
Exactly. It's fun. Yeah.
You have to have a spectrum of entertainment. Everything can't, if the only things you're watching are super high level, you know, dramas, then that's going to be boring.
Yep. And I feel as if, you know, so we find out that Rip Hunter lied to all the characters, and even despite that, they turn around and say, well, we don't mean anything to history. Well, we're going to change that. We're going to matter. So, which I thought is great. And then you also find out Rip Hunter got kicked out of the Time Lords because he's taken this deviation. So we got that kind of he's on the run kind of aspect. I mean, there's a lot of pieces on the board that are interesting to watch. And I actually the Vandal Savage character, the guy playing Vandal Savage, I think is great.
Yes. He's very menacing, and
very, very menacing. I think it's going to be a good foil, and you know, knowing what they could do with the concept, I think it's going to be a ton of fun. And I mean, that's why we were saying like this first episode was listed as part one, but I didn't feel as if like this felt like a self-contained episode. It was just like, this is the first episode, here we go. And right. I've, of course, you know, the second episode, you know, like kind of on a cliffhanger, but not like, it's not like we are incomplete talking about it here. You know, like I feel as if they gave us enough to go off of. They set the pieces on the board, set the conflict in motion, gave you little sub conflicts in between, you know, in between everything. And now just have fun. And that's what it looks like they're doing.
It's interesting for me. The biggest draw is the personalities of the characters, because like we said earlier, at first when they announced this was the show they're doing with these characters, I was like, well, why not, you know, some more, you know, recognizable characters? But
yeah,
I actually really like this mix. You have, you know, a couple of nerdy guys. You've got the really unstable, unbalanced martial artist. You have the Time Lord. You have the Hawks. And then you have the hero and the other side of Firestorm, who doesn't really want to be there.
Yeah.
And then you have the crazy, you know, Captain Cold and Heatwave. And it's actually a really good mix of personality types to keep them interesting.
And you have the good-hearted wanting to be a hero with the Atom.
Yeah.
That said, my only gripe about this was the scene when they all gather in the parking lot to leave with Rip when the ship picks them up. No one has anything.
Right.
No one has anything, and then they take off.
Bring it back. You've gone for a couple of years.
Yeah. No, not only that, but like then they take off, and then Adam's got his suit, and White Canary's got her outfit, and like, you're right. But whatever. You know, it doesn't matter. So
you would just think for a Time Lord, he would have a supply of
costumes,
clothing, era appropriate clothing. Like, so they were walking around the 70s in their clothes from 2016. I was like, really? Yeah.
Even Doc Brown knew you needed to have a suitcase full of money from different time periods.
Right.
Which we never found out how he got that money, by the way.
That's a plot hole.
Yeah, it is a plot hole. 10 plot holes of Back to the Future you didn't see coming.
I think this is going to be fun. You know, this has got to be a really expensive show.
Yeah.
At least for the pilot. It was chock full. I liked the... Was it Kronos who attacked them?
Yep. Oh, that was the one thing. So Kronos is a bounty hunter, you know, that works for the Time Lords, going to get Rip and runs into them. And so there's a big battle with that. You got not one, but two Star Wars references when talking about Kronos.
There was. Now, if you're a bounty hunter named Kronos, you kind of have to work for the Time Lords, right?
Right, I guess so, yeah.
Because
yeah,
your
I think...
name is Kronos. Yeah. There's no really other option.
I feel like that kind of limits you, kind of.
Yeah. I'd like to work for you. Well, we're going to lowball you here because you have to work for us because your name is Kronos.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to how they can play with the different eras. They can go into the future. They can go way in the past.
Yep.
And then you can do that. You know, they're already going to do it by having Jonah Hex show up, but you can run into other DC characters that way.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting and fun. And I don't, you know, I've heard rumblings around that this is going to end up only being one season or so because of the cost, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, if people start watching it, if it does, then they'll go with it. And the thing is that, like, they keep pushing the envelope. Greg Berlanti and his crew keep pushing the envelope with what they can do with these shows, and it keeps working. And so, you know, and I don't see this as a disaster. I don't see this as a miss.
I had a lot of fun with this. Totally.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And what's also great, I was thinking about this as I was watching it the second time, was I was like, you know what? As much as I'm enjoying this, it's really kind of a bummer that Captain Cold's not going to be on The Flash.
But he can be.
That's the thing. He can be, but also there's a point in the pilot where they both say, we're here for now.
Right, yeah.
At any time, they could just pull the plug on these guys and say, you know, we're out of here, send me back home, and then they get replaced by other characters.
But then also, because it's time, they could be dropped off right the moment they left and nobody would ever notice.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, you know, it definitely gives you a lot of flexibility, which I like, which is, you know, and I just, I mean, honestly, it's like Captain Cold might be my favorite character from The Flash. Like, it's just, it's great. So I'm not going to say no, I don't want more of him. You know?
Exactly. So I just think that it's really heartening that we're in this sort of really fun era of superhero media.
Yep.
You know, as dour as the movies that DC makes are, the shows are so much fun. I mean, I'm not surprised because Flash is more popular than Arrow is.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that they went in that sort of lighthearted, silver agey direction than they did the other one.
Well, you couldn't with, I mean, Arrow is dark. And
you don't want deadly serious time travel story?
I guess. I don't know.
I'm kidding, Ron.
But, I think that they're embracing the light where they have to and using the dark where they have to as well, too.
Is there anything you didn't like about the pilot?
I mean, like I said, Rip Hunter kind of grated on me every once in a while with the accent and all this sort of stuff. And it's hard not to make the Doctor Who kind of comparisons with the ship and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, they gave him motivation for wanting to go after, I want to say Kang, wanting to go after Vandal Savage. You know, so by the end of it, I liked Rip Hunter more. Oh, the other thing I didn't even notice is that the ship's AI is Gideon.
Oh, I meant, yes. Yeah. So, we've seen Gideon before as the Reverse Flash's sort of robot sidekick, and I had assumed he was some sort of AI program. But now he seems more like Siri or Cortana. Yeah.
Yep.
So does everyone in the future have a Gideon?
I guess. Who knows? I mean, like, or is this this, or is it the same Gideon? And does Thawne? I want to go back and see what year Thawne comes back from.
Right.
Is it before 2166? Is it somehow related?
Well, we'll get more info this week in the Flash.
I was going to say, yeah. If you're current on the Flash, you saw that Thawne has returned now to the present day. So will they tie these together? They love to do the crossover. So will we get a crossover of all three shows? Like,
I can see if they're all really successful.
Yeah.
Absolutely. At some point, either later in the season or next season, getting like a massive three-part crossover going.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
But so if everyone has a Gideon, if Gideon is just like Siri is my phone, are you saying in the future they can't customize Gideon different names and different voices?
Yeah. Well, who knows? I don't know. We'll find out. I mean, that's what makes me think that it's the same Gideon. Because I would think that you could customize the blue face and change the name or whatnot. That was a neat. I was like, "Ooh, it's the same thing!" I got really excited. Like, I love when they do that
because it has to be on purpose. I mean, not saying it's not an accident, but it's either the same Gideon or everyone in the future has a Gideon, which is just weird.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out. I mean, that's why you got to tune in, Connor, to find out.
All right.
So,
well,
I don't know. So I'm on board. I'm gonna keep watching it. I'm gonna hope that the season goes well. I'm gonna enjoy it, and you know, we'll see where it goes from here. I mean, like I said, I went into it skeptical and came out liking it way more than I thought I would.
Is there a character you'd wish to see on the show?
I'd wish to see on the show. Interesting. I don't know. You're more the DC guy.
Well, I mean, obviously, you have to remove the big ones because they're not going to be.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
But I would like to see somebody like.
Oh, I know.
Well, I mean, it'd be really trippy to do like the Legion of Superheroes.
That would be neat. I given Rip Hunter and the connection in the comics and stuff like that, I would like to see Booster Gold.
There you go.
That'd be pretty neat, and or Ted Kord. That'd be pretty neat. You know.
Well, they've been setting up.
Kord.
Kord in their regular shows, but Booster Gold or. There's also rumblings again they're going to have Constantine appear again.
Oh.
Or like something wacky like the Phantom Stranger.
That'd be cool. That'd be cool.
I mean, that doesn't really fit in time travel, but he's...
Or Zatanna.
Zatanna. Yeah, like there's all kinds of really great characters they can have.
Make. Yeah, they can mine that C&D list like so much, so much.
I think it'd be fun because when the Legion of Superheroes showed up in Smallville, it was fun. But I would be great to go to their world and just see... You know, hundreds of them flying around and deal with that. That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Right. Well, there's all kinds of things we could do. If you watch DC's Legends of Tomorrow, I want to talk about it, go to fanboy.com. There'll be a post for this show. You can talk about the show there, what you thought. And then when the second part of the pilot comes out, you can talk about it there as well. And I had a good time.
Yeah, I had a good time. I give it a thumbs up. I give it like a B+. How about you?
In terms of enjoyability, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
What in terms of, no, overall, I'll give it a B+.
Okay, I'll give it a solid B.
Okay, all right, that's fair.
You know, I loved it. I watched it twice, and I didn't get bored a second time either, so there
all
you
right,
go.
Cool. There it is.
And so until next time, which our next special edition show should be for...
Deadpool,
you're right.
Yep.
I was going to say Batman versus Superman, but I forgot.
No, Deadpool in a couple of weeks in February.
Deadpool in a couple of weeks. We'll be back then. Until then, you can check out our weekly podcast, the FN by Pick a League podcast, where we talk about the week's books. Until next time, I'm Connor.
And I'm Ron. Stalin trying to buy more time. Can I be a part of you? How to get there, what to do? Can I get there from inside? Of all the ways I could have tried.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.